And now, in case your heart is a little too warm, we've got a story about robots and a story about the apocalypse. That's right. Our Love Story Contest winners, Max McClure and Heidi Thorson, both approached love from slightly unusual angles.
My first love was named Becky. I thought she was spectacular. We'd sit together in the tan bark, digging for ants, finger painting together in homeroom. But after those first few idyllic weeks of college, it was brought to my attention that she was actually a cunningly constructed android. I don't know why I hadn't noticed. Her hands were both snow shovels, and her face was an oil painting of a rabbit with a mop draped over it. I was embarrassed at having been taken in so easily, and I spent most of my next relationship trying to shovel walkways with my date's hands, refusing to believe what she said, that she wasn't an android, and that the things I'd been adjusting earlier weren't toggle switches. All of this upset me greatly, of course. I hated knowing I could put that much effort into something and have it all disappear. The third girl I dated was difficult in an entirely different way. Love wasn't too fickle in this case. Instead, ironically, it went on too long. Also, the woman was at most only partially robotic. In any case, after the divorce, I started asking myself difficult questions like, did I know how to love? Did I even want love? What was my ex-wife's name? I tried to address these issues with a therapist, and the session began well. The woman asked me questions about my sexual development, and it seemed like she might have been flirting with me, but it quickly became clear that she was an android too, or possibly a department store mannequin. You can tell by looking at the eyes or at any other part of the body. I was still attracted to her, though. That marriage also ended up lasting much longer than it should have, mainly for the sake of the kids. I was single for a while after that. I hit the bars, had my first kiss. She was a statuesque Brazilian girl who recorded language tapes for business travelers, and we talked for hours about what time it was and what color our clothes were. We could have been an item if I hadn't inadvertently used the subjunctive as the night wore on. She seemed rueful as she said goodbye three times, enunciating clearly. It was at this point that love started seeming like too much work. After all, how old was I? 12? 50? I was alone, I knew that much, and it looked like I was going to stay that way. I strongly considered joining a monastery, and even applied to a local Franciscan order, putting in a strong showing at the interview by winning at both wiffle ball and the joint smoking competition. They denied my application anyway, citing my refusal to stop believing in a holy trinity composed of the Father, the Son, and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Depressed, I tried several times to commit suicide by humming James Taylor at groups of raccoons. Being unlucky in love is a positive feedback loop. Because you have no one to impress, your appearance degrades, and because your appearance degrades, you are required to enjoy talk radio. Some of my friends tried to end this cycle by taking me speed dating, which was a disaster. Each round, I claimed I was a different Supreme Court justice. By the time I reached Sonia Sotomayor, some of the participants had grown suspicious of my thick German accent, and I left the conference center on the pretext that I needed to jot something down about the Commerce Clause. That night, I stood on the roof of my apartment building and played my saxophone in the driving sleet. I wailed into the apathetic night, thinking only of my past loves, running through the hokey pokey over and over again until the sun rose and my instrument was completely riddled with bullet holes. When my friends found me desperately trying to hide beneath the ottoman the next morning, they pulled me off the floor and finally asked, point blank, what was causing my mental anguish. Reluctantly, I explained that it all led back to Becky being an android. They looked at each other in confusion. Becky from college, they said, and I said yes, my first girlfriend. Speaking cautiously, they said Becky wasn't an android. She was just that girl that went missing a few weeks into freshman year. That's impossible, I murmured, beginning to feel uncomfortable. Watching their faces out of the corner of my eye, I slowly walked to the closet where I'd kept Becky's body for the past several years and opened the door. Inside were the cleaning supplies and cardboard boxes and still lifes that had made up my former girlfriend, carefully stacked, just as I'd left them. Oh, that Becky, my friend said. No, you're right, that Becky was definitely an android. I laughed with relief. I could feel my depression lifting. Thank God we resolved that mystery, I said. It looks like friendship is the only kind of love I really need. Bleep, blop, bloop, they replied, agreeing. And together we walked out into the street, shoveling away the previous night's slush with our enormous hands.